We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF closeout May edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Of course, we're back live on a Friday at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love fired up for the Baton Rouge Regional. We're going to go to Baton Rouge not once, but twice in our hour and a half today. You're going to get all the insights you need. Marceau versus Marino, LSU versus Stony Brook, and there's already been a little bit of a shaking up of the guard from Alec Box Stadium. Clint and I will tell you all about that to end our opening segment. And he'll let you know, CD will, exactly who has won already from the SEC. A bit of a regional scoreboard look in at the end of this segment. And you're going to get plenty of LSU baseball talk. But I do want to lead off on two different fronts today. Before we get to the LSU baseball, let's get to something that all of us, almost all of us, okay, those of us over 21 are going to be thrilled over. And only appropriate that I'm doing the show today from the bar area at Ruffino's on the River. You got to be at a bar to give this type of announcement. The SEC alcohol ban in general seating has been removed.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Bottoms up, folks. SEC schools now have jurisdiction on beer and wine only. And as you would expect, all the rigmarole that goes on when you attend a professional sporting event or, you know, a UL game. Yeah, it all extends itself here. You can only get a certain number of beverages at a time. They got to serve it to you in a cup. There's only designated areas. There's no hard liquor. And then, of course, sales must end at a certain point, certain junction in the game. For football, it'll be the end of the third quarter. For baseball, at the end of the top of the seventh, during the stretch. For men's basketball, just for example, at the 12-minute timeout of the second half, which of course means that the most popular head coach in the league is the one that says, damn it, we're going to play it out. We're not calling timeouts. As long as the ball stays in play and nobody commits a foul, keep drinking until about the 9.5-minute mark of a college basketball game. So this, to me, pretty landmark news that's coming out of the SEC spring meetings in Destin. And it's just the news that you wanted to hear on a Friday afternoon going into your weekend. One other update I can give you on that front along those lines. I told you it's a lot like states having the right and the autonomy to approve sports gambling. Just because you can doesn't mean you will decide to. And it's been mind-numbing that Louisiana doesn't want to nibble when it comes to sports gambling. Already, a number of SEC schools have declared they don't want any part, at least immediately, off the bat, of alcohol sales. And isn't it funny? Bible Belt fully represented here. Auburn has already announced it will not. Now, this came through Brandon Marcello, an individual reporter, but he's reporting that Auburn will not approve alcohol sales in 2019. Neither will Alabama. So the first Saturday in November, you go to Bryant-Denny Stadium, you're going to be on the Natch. Well, unless you get it in before you go to the stadium. Or, of course, you sneak it into the stadium. More on that later in today's program. But Auburn won't. Bama won't. Mississippi State, according to Ross Dellinger, not likely. And then there's LSU in the corner, baby, like the Kool-Aid man. Auburn says, oh, no. Bama says, oh, no, LSU, oh, yeah, it will happen immediately. You can take that to the bank. And so the shoot was the temporary fix. This is pretty darn cool news. Again, I got more on this later in today's program. But I had to start you off with a happy note, and maybe that'll even lead you to a happy hour. All right, the second leadoff topic. You'll have plenty of LSU baseball, but I do want to fit in my thoughts. Game one of the NBA Finals, 118-109, Toronto defended home court and beat the two-time defending world champs. My take, here we go. I don't think the right reaction is overreacting to the Toronto win. They've clearly earned respect. I think they did it before last night. And you know they've got everyone's attention, mostly Golden State. But to say this series is different now than what we already expected, I would say is premature. They defended home court. Now, having said that, we do need to acknowledge, and I will, what Toronto did really well in Game 1. They dominated the offensive glass. The combo of Spicy P, Pascal Siakam, and Mark Gasol, who somebody dusted off, took out of archives, out of mothballs. He was fantastic. The two of those guys combined 52 points, 15 boards. That'll lessen the load on the claw, Kawhi Leonard. And so they were great on the offensive glass. And by the way, I love that nickname for Siakam. Just fantastic. Spicy P, and he is a native of Cameroon. He made one heck of a name for himself last night. They also, the Raptors, I think took the wind out of the Warriors' sails a bit early. I know that Houston did that in the conference, semis? I know that Houston found ways to get out to big leads. Toronto did it, and then they kept their foot on the gas. They were up 4 after a quarter, 10 at the break. So respect to Toronto. They're continuing to establish their name, but I'm not willing to tell you that things are all that much different in my mind. Now, I'll fully admit, I've watched the ship go down before, right in front of my eyes, slowly, and been almost totally unreceptive that Titanic was actually occurring. Best example of that, the 2004 Pistons-Lakers Finals. It was thorough. The Pistons spanked Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton, Karl Malone. It was a thorough beatdown by the Pistons. And yet, at no point while I was watching it happen, did I actually believe it was happening. The other side that must be acknowledged here is the Kevin Durant angle. Now, he's going to be out for game two. That's already been announced. Can the Warriors win it without him? I say yes. But I do think there's some scoring punch that they're going to have to get that they didn't necessarily receive. It looks, I'll admit this, it looks great when you see the line from Draymond Green and it's triple-double, 10, 10, and 10. They need a little more from him without Kevin Durant when it comes to scoring the basketball. So my some kind of feeling on this, I already thought it was going to be a series. So to say that, hey, the series is on, well, sure, but I already thought it was. To say that the series is over or that it shifted, nah. Toronto just defended home court. But they look good doing it. And, oh, by the way, Raptors are two-point favorites on Sunday. Wouldn't it be something if they went back to the Bay with a 2-0 series lead. We got a lot of LSU talk coming at you today. Abbreviated show. You're going to the box full time. Doug Thompson and Chris Blair at 5:30. Between now and then, we'll talk with Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com, in our very next segment, about 4 minutes from right now. And Ronnie Rance, Mr. Sports Shorts, at straight up 5 o'clock. CD, before we hit that break, how about a little bit of an NCAA tournament update, especially on the SEC teams?
Looking at the SEC teams, Ben, a handful of them, and they made it look really, really easy for the most part. Auburn crushed Coastal 16-7. Arkansas beat down Central Connecticut in the Fayetteville Regional 11-5. And then you've got Starkville Regional. Southern, they dropped to Mississippi State 11-6. Southern looked good to start the ball game, but the Bulldogs did Bulldog things. Texas A&M and Duke right now just got started. After three innings, they're tied up at nothing-nothing. And more of a local side of things, Ben, in the Nashville Regional, McNeese State falls to Indiana State 6-5. A few other notable matchups on tap later tonight. Georgia Mercer, of course, LSU Stony Brook, and then you got Tennessee and Liberty going on all at 6 o'clock. Florida and Dallas Baptist is going to be at 7 o'clock Central Time. And then I believe you have Vandy as well being a 6 o'clock first pitch, which is a perfect segue to our guy Brian Lazar coming up in a minute.
There you go. Mr. B.L. Dore, D-O-R-E, masterfully done by the famous Clint D. And by the way, the update that you probably really want, Southern Miss beat the stuffing out of Arizona State. That went final within the last 30 minutes, 15-3. Southern Miss over Arizona State. How about that for packing a punch? And get this, the USM ace is still available. He'll almost certainly pitch tomorrow night, 6 p.m. They'll get the winner of LSU and Stony Brook. All right, quick break. Then we are going to bring on Brian Lazar live from Alec Box Stadium. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, having a blast at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in, and we're ready to go calling on Baton Rouge. Ready to talk a little LSU baseball in advance of the Tigers' start to the Baton Rouge Regional. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we're live from Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Let's go east. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, he is Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com senior writer. How are you, Brian?
Good, Ben. How you doing this afternoon?
Everything's going well here. How about a little upset of the apple cart? At least that's how it seems from 65 miles away. Southern Miss beats Arizona State 15-3. How'd they do it?
One big inning. Exploded against Arizona State ace and bullpen in the, fifth inning. They scored 12 runs. And Arizona State won with its ace, Alec Marsh, and teed off on him in that inning and scored, I want to say, they had a 12-run inning, and I think 10 of the runs scored with two outs. So, you know, swung the bats well. Arizona State didn't really do a whole lot offensively, and, you know, just one inning. And Southern Miss had three home runs. The bottom two hitters in the Southern Miss lineup drove in seven runs, and each of them hit a home run. So it was just one of those days for Arizona State.
Brian, we'll look ahead briefly. Should LSU advance and take on Southern Miss, the word is the Eagles have their ace in reserve for that game. How would you look at them as a potential Saturday night opponent?
Well, that's true. They did not throw their number one pitcher, Powell, so they have him to go tomorrow night. And this LSU team has been inconsistent all year. There have been games when they haven't swung the bat well, and there have been games when their starting pitching has not been good. So every game, regardless of the opponent for this LSU team, can be tough. And Ben, LSU, they played 14 weekends during the regular season. Only three times did they go 3-0. So I think it would not surprise me to see this regional go to a deciding game on Monday.
Talking LSU baseball with Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com. He's joining us live from Alec Box Stadium. We'll look at the Tigers in Stony Brook now. Landon Marceau, he'll get the start. I have to imagine the goal is to let him go as far as he can. From there, how would this ideally work out with the bullpen?
Well, I just think that, you know, just like you said, Marceau's going as long as he can, and it depends upon how far he goes as to which pitcher would be used. Fifth, sixth inning, you may see Matthew Beck, depending upon how the game's going. You could see Zach Hess that early. So you have Beck, you got Hess, you got Todd Peterson, you got Devin Fontenot, you got Dalton Hilliard. Those are the four or five guys that LSU's going to use out the pen. And really, it just depends upon the situation of the game that which one we get to call.
At the plate tonight, I don't know that there's too much more to make out of this. We discussed it yesterday. Brant Broussard expected to be back in the everyday lineup and start. I guess your reaction to what he did in Hoover, where he's at, and what he may be able to provide.
Well, he swung the bat well in Birmingham. He got six hits in the four and a half games in which he played. And he struggled a little bit defensively in the tournament there. But, you know, he's had a few hits in the last 10 days to 2 weeks of the season. So a senior, got some experience. So it's always good to have the older guys in the lineup at this time of the year.
One more on LSU baseball. There have been so many stories about arm fatigue and LSU's lack of pitching health. How would you categorize as a staff where they're at right now and anybody, including Cole Henry, that might have limitations this weekend?
Well, look, Cole Henry missed four starts. He went last week in Birmingham, and he went, he couldn't finish two innings. So I'm assuming that he would get a start. I don't know if it would be tomorrow. I don't know if it would be Sunday, but I would assume he would be one of the three starters for LSU in this tournament. He goes out there, you know, I wouldn't expect him to go any more than, you know, four or five innings. And, and I think that would be the absolute most just because of, you know, he hasn't thrown very much in the last, month and a half.
We'll switch topics as we come down the stretch. Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com, our guest on 103.7 The Game. You had a recent sit-down with Skip Bertman. I guess your overall impressions, how he feels about Scott Woodward, the role he steps into, and what he can do with this athletic department.
Well, he's very high on Scott. You know, he worked with him when Scott was the director of external affairs under Mark Emmert in the early 2000s. You know, Skip was the AD for part of that time. Woodward was the liaison between Emmert and the athletic department besides being the director of external affairs. So Skip had a lot of, you know, dealings with Woodward, thinks he's very good, thinks he's very smart. He says, did a very good job. His main task when he was at LSU the first time was dealing with the legislature and keeping Emmert up to snuff on what was going on there and him politicking with the people in the legislature to get what LSU needed. And Skip said he's got a very good personality. Everybody likes him. He's very intelligent. And Skip said one big thing, you know, everybody has made a big deal about the fact that, you know, Baton Rouge native, went to LSU. But Skip says the best thing about him is he left LSU. He left Louisiana. He did a lot of time at Washington and Texas A&M, so he's got experience away from LSU, and now he's coming back. And, Skip told me there's never been an AD at LSU who has had so much experience both at LSU and away from LSU, and he thinks that's very important that Scott had all those years at Washington and Texas A&M.
A series of really good points. Brian, one more on that subject. Anything else that really stood out to you, your conversation with Skip Bertman, whether it's Scott Woodward, the athletic department, Maneri and the baseball program, anything in particular that caught your attention?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about baseball and it's a different animal here. And he even talked about that. He used Florida as an example this year. He said Kevin O'Sullivan really rode off this year at Florida, played a lot of freshmen in the everyday lineup, and then when the pitching went bad, they didn't have a good season, and they did end up making the NCAA tournament, but, you know, Florida had a losing conference record. He said, you can't do that at LSU. He said, you can't give up a year like O'Sullivan did. He said, you can do it at Florida because people don't care about baseball, but he says, Paul's not in the same situation. And he gave Paul credit for every year he has to try to do what he can to put out on the field a team which can make Omaha, which is, you know, can be tough sometimes. And, this year it has not been an easy one for LSU. And because of the, you know, whether it's injuries, inconsistencies, I always point out, you know, at the start of the year, Vanderbilt and LSU were supposed to be the two best teams in the country. And Vanderbilt lived up to the expectations and LSU didn't. Well, if you look at all the veteran players on Vanderbilt's team, the position players, they all had their best years. If you look at the veteran players on LSU's team, none of them really, you know, Josh Smith had a good year, but, you know, Duplantis was just okay. Watson did not have a good year. Zach Hess did not have a good year. So the older guys on LSU's team, the guys who came back, for the most part, didn't have their best years, whereas that was not the case with Vanderbilt's older players. And as a result, Vanderbilt won the SEC, and LSU finished fifth.
Easy enough. We'll see how it goes this weekend. One thing we know, we'll be following your coverage, TigerBait.com, on Twitter, @BLDoor. Brian, thank you so much for doing this on the game day.
Okay, Ben, thanks. Talk to you later.
Our thanks to Brian Lazar. And some interesting points there. Another thing I can tell you, just jumped off the bottom ticker at me. Clint gave you some scores from around the SEC, how the Southeastern Conference schools are starting their runs in regional play. He said Duke A&M from College Station was scoreless. I believe it's from College Station. Clint, you'll correct me if I'm wrong there, but it's now 4-0 Duke on top of Texas A&M. Is that in College Station, or are they a 2-seed maybe?
Yeah, they're a 2-seed in the Morgantown Regional.
You know, man, there you go. So they're in Morgantown, and they're losing 4-0 to Duke. So a bit of a score update we can provide there. A lot of interesting stuff from Brian Lazar, not just on LSU baseball, but he's got a dynamite Q&A with Skip Bourbon. I wanted to bring some of that to the air here, and I'm glad that we did. Hey, don't forget, the show ends at 5:30 today. A little more than an hour from right now. That means you've got a little more than an hour to come and enjoy the drink special. Have an appetizer, join me in the bar area, and the drink special is this. Wine is half off by the glass. So come in, enjoy that. LSU baseball will be on the tube, and we'll slide into our weekend together. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back in, got a question for you, and it's LSU baseball related. I'll ask that when we return. We're live at Ruffino's on the River and broadcasting on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
An important question coming at you, and plenty more of the good stuff from a great place to celebrate life. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're hanging out at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Our thanks again to Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com. We just caught his perspective. Don't forget, we'll take you back out to Alec Box Stadium, 5 o'clock. Ronnie Rance will join us, former LSU pitcher. His take on the matchup tonight. What does it mean that Southern Miss has beat Arizona State already? That and more. A live look-in scene setter from Baton Rouge at 5 o'clock. Don't forget, we send you there permanently, you know, for the game, at 5:30. 6 p.m. is first pitch. CD, enough of all that. We got to get down to the sink or swim question of the day, and it's a little bit like LSU football-related sink or swim Fridays in the fall. Let's see how this goes.
Exciting and new.
That's right. It's an over-under in its own right. Sink or swim. Does Landon Marceau make it through 6 full innings tonight? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you peep the stat sheet, is it at least 6 IP innings pitched? Call us, let us know. Put it on wax. Let's get an over-under prediction for baseball, baby. 706-0111. The number to play. Clint, why don't you lead us off?
I'm going swim here, and I'm swimming with a lot of confidence here because it just feels like, to me, Landon Marceau, if Pulmonary doesn't have the confidence in him to eat up some innings and be a six-inning guy, he wouldn't have put him in this position. So I'm going to go with swim here, and I'm swimming with a lot of confidence.
I'm also going to swim. I might not have quite the degree of confidence, if only because there's just so much unknown. I think that – I know Marceau's only a freshman, but year after year – Maneri, Dunn, they know what these SEC teams are about. It's maybe a little bit easier to help school some of the pitching staff, especially the rookies, when you know how a hitting system works, when you know some of the players that are around for two or three years. Stony Brook obviously brings a ton of unknown, and that's almost always the name of the game this time of year. You get to Omaha, sure, you could face somebody in the SEC. It's not going to ever happen to you in regional play, and it's unlikely but not impossible in supers. After all, LSU could get Georgia in super regional play in Athens. The only reason, in my opinion, he might not make it six is because of some of the unknown. And if Stony Brook finds a way to get to him early, even if it's not all with runs, even if it's just building up pitch counts, then maybe the freshman from Destrehan falters a little bit. But I do think he's going to lead to a winning effort tonight either way. But it's a little bit like Brian Lazar said. I think that was perfect, by the way. If Marceau leaves it into the fifth, yeah, then it's going to be time for Matthew Beck. Then it's going to be time to stretch a little bit. If he can get it to the eighth, absolutely. I mean, it's time to go almost immediately to Zach Hess. Hess would also be maybe seventh inning territory. Hell, if he dumps it off into the ninth and he's not ready to finish it in that final frame, yeah, it's probably Todd Peterson time or somebody, Devin Fondo, in the very back end of that bullpen. So for me, I have confidence too. Maybe not quite as much as you, but his form was fabulous in the SEC tournament. And his outing, which I believe was last. Oh, CD, you're going to have to help me out here. I'm getting old at this point, brother. I think, let's piece this together. Friday night was the 10-run rule at Mississippi State, so it had to have been Thursday night. So what he did 8 nights ago was remarkable. And he looked in that game like some of LSU's fantastic freshmen have in years past, be it Nola, Lang, Gausman. He looked like he had that kind of stuff. And that's the reason so many people thought they'd save him and leave that bullet, you know, kind of back in the magazine, not in the chamber. Have him for Saturday. And what's interesting is in this chess game, Southern Miss now has its ace available for a winner's bracket game tomorrow at 6. You're just joining us. Southern Miss dusted off Arizona State by the tune of 15-3 in that game. Eagles didn't throw their best. Sun Devils did. And so think about that disparity. I mean, seriously, all of a sudden, Southern Miss is in the winner's bracket game tomorrow night, 6 p.m. They're rolling with their ace. Arizona State is going to turn around and play at noon tomorrow, and they've got their second best. Time will tell if they're facing LSU or Stony Brook. I do know this. If the answer to our Sink or Swim question is swim, if Marceau goes 6+, LSU's chances of winning this game against Stony Brook tonight and exercising a few 2012 demons, those chances are absolutely fantastic. Time for you to weigh in. Give us a little baseball over-under. 706-0111. All right, we're going to head out now. Let's see here, CD. I'm just now getting this text here. Fun reception we're having right here. I'll let you explain it on the air. Marceau's last effort in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, that was in that wild Auburn game on Thursday afternoon. He threw 6 2/3 innings, so definitely he can wind. I think that's another reason why I'm sold on him going more than six innings, because of what he was able to do last Thursday against Auburn, and you have an extra day of rest. So I think Pulmonary definitely has a little bit of a looser leash on him than he might have in a regular season series.
Now I remember, absolutely. It wasn't Thursday night. It was Thursday afternoon, and LSU almost tried to spoil that gym. You're right. That was the wild Auburn game that ended with the, I don't know, two-run, sort of wild pitch, boot, scoot. Yeah, you know that play. And so you're absolutely right. That gives even more rest, but he was fantastic against Auburn. All right, good news, bad news. Good news, you just got that full reminder. Bad news, we did lose the caller we had, so that human being, anybody else that wants to play, we got time between now and 5 o'clock. 706-0111, and at 5, we'll get you to Ronnie Rantz. Mostly LSU baseball talk there, but the other part of that, he's going to give you some of the events that are surrounding next week's Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Saturday night is the big ticket, and you can't buy tickets to it anymore. It's actually sold out. The banquet Saturday night when Les Miles, Peyton Manning, Roger Cador all get inducted, that's sold out. But there are some surrounding events. He'll tell you about those, maybe just as important. If you can't make it up to Natchitoches, Ronnie's going to school you on everything coming to CST. They're going to televise some really, really cool kind of behind-the-scenes stuff from this 2019 induction class for the State Sports Hall of Fame. All right, going, gone, at least for this segment. We'll come back in. We got more time for you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at Ruffino's on the river, and we'll be right back on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game at 103.7thegame.com.
to the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Back in the place to be every Friday for us, and should be for you as well. Raffito's on the River. Beautiful scene as I look outside from the bar area, the Vermilion River. Looking great. You got the fountain. Heck, this thing was almost, I was going to say snowed under, but it almost got kind of flooded under with some of the rains we got a few weeks back when I was here. Nothing like that tonight. Absolutely beautiful. Come on, join us if you get a chance. Wine by the glass, half off in the bar area. You don't have to have a reservation to come have some fun here at Raffino's on the River. All right, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back in for the final time this hour on 103.7 The Game. We'll still open up our phone lines to you. Call us on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 706-0111. LSU baseball still on the table, still available for you. Want to answer the sink or swim question? Yeah, we got room for that too. You think Landon Marceau makes it through six full innings? There's another, I'll almost call it a secondary SOS question. Clint, a little bit of a secondary sink or swim. I'm interested if people are liking into, feeding into the Drake Warriors storyline, or if they're just kind of fed up and done with it. Because it's really not just the Warriors. He's been doing this to everyone, including the Bucks last series that, quote-unquote, his Toronto Raptors come up against. And, you know, the latest brick in that wall, I'll admit, it is fairly entertaining. Drake, if you saw him last night, was wearing the old-school throwback Del Curry Toronto Raptors jersey. And there's a story from ActionNetwork.com. Drake's team came up with the idea, a troll idea, on Monday. Obviously, they needed that jersey express delivered to Toronto before Thursday's game. The problem they encountered, as you might expect, Del Curry fan jerseys were pretty darn rare 2 decades ago when the dude was playing basketball before his sons were. And so Drake's team finally found this jersey, one that they could access about 500 miles away. They not only offered top dollars, the jersey was driven to Toronto so that Drake could wear it in his trolling efforts last night. I'll give it to the guy. He's dedicated to his craft as a troll master. I don't like the front running, but I know that his love for Toronto and especially the Raptors is genuine. I can't believe that they let him have carte blanche and basically rule the roost on their own sideline. But there's no questioning that he loves Toronto and the Raptors. What I'm curious about is this sideshow something that you just want to die? Or maybe in a perverse way, are you kind of enjoying it? Again, we got some time here. Let's explore the space. 706-0111. Clint, I'll put you to the sword first. Is this good or bad for the NBA Finals?
I think it's just an eyesore. I think it's a bad thing for the NBA right now. You want to be able to have the focus be on the actual game between these two really good teams. They wound up looking really, it was a very entertaining game one, to say the least. So I think it's definitely a bad thing for the NBA if you're wanting to focus solely on what's going on the court instead of, you know, Drake doing the hotline bling dance and wearing a throwback Del Curry jersey courtside. It's just it's a bad look.
If I'm not mistaken, the Raptors came into the league as an expansion team, 94-95, in that vicinity. So, look, you've only had about a quarter century of this franchise, and that means it's the first time that an NBA Finals has been contested outside of the United States. I swear some geography nerd calls me and says, yeah, but it's still North America. I don't want to hear it. They're playing outside of the U.S. of A., and there is significance. So because of that factor, Clint, there's a first-timer in the finals. Because we've got an all-timer type of franchise in this modern era Warriors, I'm going to tell you that this finals has enough sizzle that they don't need the Drake sideshow. Yeah, the jersey thing was a bit cutesy, and it was funny. You got a laugh out of it. Frankly, he copped the idea from the Milwaukee Bucks owner daughter. I'll say that again with some English. The Milwaukee Bucks owner's daughter. Yeah, that's her. So she went and wore one last series that kind of gave Drake a seed. It was planted. He had this idea. So I'll give him an A for creativity, but I don't know that the finals requires this, especially with Toronto going out and winning the opening game of this 2019 NBA Finals. So you've got a first-timer in. You're playing outside of the country. Kawhi Leonard has grown his game, and even if he wasn't the best player on the floor last night, I think he's proving that he's one of the best 3 to 5 players in the sport right now. We don't need Max Kellerman saying that he is better than Kobe, but right now, he's one of the best that the game has to offer. He's absolutely playing that way, if nothing else. So I'll suggest that these finals have enough going for them. Kevin Durant, by the way, out in game one, has already been ruled out for game two. You did see the return after quite some time of Boogie Cousins. Scored 3 points in 8 minutes off the pine. Not quite vintage Boogie. Unless you're one of those Pels fans that hates on him and you think this is his vintage. That's fine, too. So I just think it has enough. I see the Drake storyline. As I was driving through Houston last Friday going to Minute Maid, there was almost as much talk. I believe it was on the ESPN affiliate there. I'm forgetting the dial. It was an FM signal, but there you go, Clint. I appreciate it. 97.5. There was as much talk about Drake as there was the actual NBA Finals. Frankly, as much as there was the Houston Astros. So that might be a bit of a statement on how they do their business, the content on their quote-unquote sports station. But in 2019, we fall victim to this, and I've just done it. It's the Lonzo Ball theory. In some ways, it's actually kind of the Donald Trump theory as well. If you're talking about me, I'm winning. And that is something that Lonzo Ball, I think, did to a T. That's something right now that Drake is kind of masterminding and marketing himself continuously. He's keeping himself top of mind. So, hey, look, if he's winning by doing that, even if America's losing, then I guess good on him. Even if North America is losing. And maybe by including him in this segment, your boy is doing a little bit of losing and taking some L's as well. We've had a fun first hour so far. I let off my thoughts on the NBA Finals. We won't have a lot of time to get back to them. So briefly, in a nutshell, I don't think that the right reaction is overreacting to Toronto's win. To say this is a different series than what we already expected is a bit premature. They defended home court. They did some things very well last night. Chief amongst them, offensive rebounding. Spicy P. Pascal Siakam was dynamite. But I do think there's a long way to go in this series. But it's interesting. The odds makers still have Toronto installed as a 2-point favorite in Game 2 on Sunday. So if they completely defend home court, this thing goes to the Bay at 2-love, yeah, we're in for some fun. Then we're guaranteed, I would think, a little more legit of a series. The other lead topic that we had for this hour in this show, we will get back there as we throw shade. But the alcohol ban for SEC general seating athletic events has been removed. And that means SEC schools now have jurisdiction on selling beer and wine. Yes, there will be some restrictions they're going to expect to put in place. No, you're not going to have, to the best of my knowledge and understanding, the cold beer here guy. That's not going to exist. There will be stations. You'll have to walk to the station and get the beer and get the wine. They'll serve it to you in a cup. There's a limit on how many you can buy at a time. You know, all these things. You've been to a UL game, you get it. But it's absolutely good news. It did lead to one incredibly hilarious anecdote, at least from my vantage point. So I'll share that with you as we throw shade to end today's program. Again, that's about 20 minutes from right now. Between now and then, we do have a lot of ground to cover, including an interview with Ronnie Rance at straight up 5 o'clock. Former LSU pitcher, Mr. Sports Shorts. He'll give us his take live from Alec Box Stadium, LSU and Stony Brook, and his reaction to Arizona State falling, and falling hard, to Southern Miss earlier this afternoon. And speaking of that, CD, I've carved out a little extra real estate for our final word today, because I want to go in on that exact topic. So let's get after it.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Fattened. Yeah, that's right. The Arizona State baseball team, all of them, players, coaches, well, they dined at the sister establishment of where I'm at right now, Ruffino's in Baton Rouge. And I'm going to tell you, Ruffin and the crowd over there really took care of these guys. I've seen the pictures. I mean, they had all the different desserts you would imagine with everything kind of lit up for them. Sun Devils was written across their plates. But maybe, just maybe, Arizona State got a little fat and happy. Maybe they got fattened last night as they enjoyed a little bit too much of the goodness at Ruffino's. Maybe they even, you know, had a little bit of the things that SEC schools can serve starting next year. Whatever it was, didn't agree with Arizona State. They got walloped by Southern Miss 15-3 earlier today. And so fattened is the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. There, your final stop. Fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. The good news is this. You can come and join me for the next 30 minutes at Ruffino's on the river. And almost certainly, you don't have to play in a regional baseball game tomorrow. So if you come and get a little bit of fat with delicious food, a couple libations here, you're just going to wake up happy tomorrow morning. We'll be right back in. Pretty happy ourselves. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Each and every Friday, our pleasure to be out live at Ruffino's on the river. And plenty of celebrating life going on already. I'll tell you more about it here momentarily. But right now, got to check in with a good friend of the program, live from Alex Box Stadium, aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Mr. Sports Shorts. Ronnie Rance is with us. How are you, Ronnie?
How are you, man?
Hey, life is good in Lafayette. I'm wondering, is it a madhouse yet at the box as we're less than an hour away from LSU getting ready to play the Baton Rouge Regional?
It's actually drizzling a little bit around the box, so, we'll have to see in an hour if it affects any kind of delay, not at this point, but that's the only thing. A little bit of light rain, nothing crazy, but it's going to be a late arriving crowd, as you know. It's a parking lot trying to get around Baton Rouge on a Friday in the summer, especially when you throw in a regional. So 6 o'clock, a little bit of an early start. Usually these games are 7 o'clock, so it'll probably be a little bit of a arriving crowd right at game time, but it'll be packed.
Ronnie, what was your initial reaction within the past 48 hours when you heard Landon Marceau would start the opener?
I thought I was being punked on like Yo MTV or something. You know, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. Kind of shocked. You know, I think it's the first time probably ever that LSU is a number one seed playing a four seed at home has ever thrown, at the time, their best pitcher, you know, their hottest pitcher. And I think you can say that about Landon Marceau. As far as the starting pitchers are concerned, he's the guy they've got the most confidence in at the moment. That tells you, I think, a couple of things. I think it tells you the respect, obviously, that Paul Menary has for Stony Brook. He doesn't want another Stony Brook to happen. And two, I think that means that Cole Henry must be feeling pretty good. I think that means that, you know, they threw him an extended bullpen early Sunday or Monday, and the bounce back from it was good. And they feel confident in Cole Henry because that I may be reading between the lines, but I think that tells you just as much.
Visiting with Ronnie Rance, you can and you should watch him. Sports Shorts TV, Monday and Tuesday nights right here in Lafayette on Pelican HD Channel 1013. You took the words right out of my mouth. I think this also is a vote of confidence in what they think Marceau can do and maybe saving some of the bullpen arms going forward. So all of these things said, what's your best guess? If LSU wins tonight, how do they go Saturday and then into Sunday?
Well, I thought I had an idea earlier in the week, but obviously by Marceau going Friday, I, at this point I have no idea. I expected Marceau to go Saturday just because generally you throw your best pitcher that on Saturday, on that game two, especially when you're a number one seed going against a four seed at home, you would save your best for the Saturday night game where you're facing the winner of the 2-3, which in this case is Southern Miss. By throwing Marceau, you on paper, your choices are Walker or Cole Henry. Do you go with the experience factor in Walker, or do you go with the guy that has the great stuff in Cole Henry? If you think Cole Henry is healthy and there's no reason to think he's not, they've done the MRI, they've seen the doctor, everything checks out fine. It was a little bit, him not feeling great and between the ears. If he's over that, I'm going with Cole Henry. But we shall see.
You mentioned Arizona State losing and resoundingly 15-3 to Southern Miss. How, if at all, Ronnie, does that change the complexion of this regional, especially if you're LSU?
I don't know that it does. I mean, obviously you expect two to win. Arizona State's the bigger name, the bigger legacy. Southern Miss has now won five in a row, and obviously they went undefeated in their conference tournament, and they're obviously swinging the bat great. And they're going to have a good crowd. Southern Miss travels well, and they're going to find their way into the stadium. So I don't know if it makes that big of a deal. Obviously, you would think if LSU finds itself in the loser's bracket, that's where Arizona State could maybe do some damage, because Arizona State's obviously got a little more depth, than what maybe Southern Miss has.
Any gut feeling, maybe based off of the way LSU performed in Hoover, late season, even in the SEC, some hitters that you think are going to be absolutely instrumental, or maybe guys that are starting to come to life at this point?
Well, Garza is the best hitter on their team at the moment. He and Josh Smith are the guys that, Paul Maneri and Sean Ochinco are going to have the most confidence in. Garza took his batting average from 1-something all the way to over 300. That's at this late in the season, that's pretty incredible. And then Josh Smith has been super good all year long. So, those are the two hot hands. Obviously, you'd like to see Daniel Cabrera start to factor in. This is a guy that's a preseason All-American. He was on the Olympic team last summer, USA team, and, as a freshman, and, hit the middle of their lineup. And, yes, he's had nice years, got double-digit homers, but the batting average is in the low, starting to fall. It's around 270, 280 at the moment, and this is a guy that I thought would hit 330 and, double digits in every category. So, he's more than capable. And so wouldn't shock me at all if Daniel Cabrera, turns it around, especially when you start to look for the other guys and you forget about him. That's a guy that will probably play in the major leagues one day, and he can beat anybody.
Another few moments with Ronnie Rantz. We're talking LSU baseball. We're about to get to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame and a huge weekend next week in Natchitoches. One more on Tigers baseball, Ronnie. I believe four more hits is what Antoine Duplantis needs to become the all-time LSU hit king. You know the guy who held that record. How do you feel about that?
It's a little bit of a changing of the guard, right? It's a little bit sad, but because Eddie Furness is one of the greatest players ever to play at LSU, but at the same time, I'm super happy for Antoine Duplantis. I had the chance to, coach him one summer after his senior year at Lafayette High. He played for me with the Marucci White Sox. He's a great kid, comes from a great family. So happy for him. And look, well-deserved. There's been a lot of great four-year players, and he's going to go down as one of the best ever. But let's not kid ourselves. The two best hitters in the history of LSU baseball are Todd Walker and Eddie Furness.
All right, let's get now to the Sports Hall of Fame. First, the televised side of things, because I think that's incredibly important. Let our listeners know exactly what they can view, and they got a lot of different options next weekend coming from Natchitoches.
Yeah, if you're not following Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame on social media, do so on Twitter and Facebook, because we'll have tons of stuff videos and pictures and everything June 6th through 8th. But Cox Sports Television has been a great partner of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fames. And next Thursday, June 6th, from 3 to 5, you know, you can go back and forth between CST and a little Ben Love. But, you know, we're going to have the press conference live from the museum. And then on Saturday, June 8th, we'll have our Celebrity Walk of Legends red carpet TV special from 5 to 6 live from the Natchez Convention Center. So as all the former greats arrive, we'll be interviewing them, and all the Hall of Famers this year, which include Peyton Manning and Les Miles and Roger Cador and others. And then from 7 until 9:30, we'll have the Hall of Fame induction banquet with all the videos and interviews hosted by Lynn Rollins, and that'll be fantastic. So that's Cox Sports Television next Thursday, June 6th at 3 o'clock, and next Saturday, June 8th, 5, 6, and 7. You don't want to miss it.
And with any luck, LSU fans will be able to flip back and forth, Tiger Super Regional games, maybe somewhere on the mothership, and then right over to CST for all these events. Ronnie, one more for you. Congratulations. I'll say this, you and your team on selling out the banquet on Saturday night from Natchitoches, but there are still plenty of events that fans in this Acadiana area could come, kind of rub elbows with legends and have some fun in the process.
Absolutely, and one of the coolest ones is next Friday, June the 7th, from 11:30 to 2 up in Alexandria, hour 15 minutes away. You can go up there, and it's our 80 Celebrity Bowling Bash. So we're going to have former Tiger greats like Jacob Hester and Richard Dixon. And, you know, obviously Les Miles is going to be there. We're going to Donnie Jones, who won a Super Bowl last year. The Eagles will be there, or year before, rather. So we're going to have and all the Hall of Famers, and all, they'll be there. You get a chance to bowl, eat, drink, be merry. We'll have open bar, lots of food. We'll have the 80s disco music. That's a lot of fun. And the Hall of Famers, past and present, really have a good time. So that's next Friday, June 8th, 11:30 to 2. And it's open to all ages. Bring the kids if you want. Bring your buddies from work, whatever. And then the other coolest thing, next Saturday, June 8th, the following Saturday, June 8th, from 12 to 1:30, our buddy Tim Brando from Fox Sports, he's going to be hosting a roundtable brunch catered by Lazion's, one of the great restaurants up in Natchitoches. And it's only 225 people in the ballroom at the Chateau St. Denis, the official hotel where the Hall of Famers are staying. And you'll have Peyton Manning and Arch Manning. We're going to have Johnny Robinson, who's getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this summer. He'll be there. And it's a roundtable discussion where Tim Brando will be interviewing some of the greats of the past and present. So that's going to be a really cool event. You can get tickets to all of it at lasportshall.com.
Bowling with Les Miles, and then a roundtable discussion with Timmy B. It's not going to get a lot better than that. Ronnie, thank you for coming on. Hey, quickly, before we let you go, any update on the drizzling?
No, it's just pretty much stopped.
All right, hopefully we have first pitch at 6 o'clock. Thanks again, Ronnie. Enjoy the baseball.
All right, Ben. Thank you.
Good man. Ronnie Rance. Again, Sports Shorts TV, Monday and Tuesday nights, Channel 1013 in Lafayette. And then also, it's a man that wears a lot of hats. Does some really, really cool things, helping to raise money and put on a lot of events for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. So next weekend will mean a lot for him and for us, as well as RP3 will be up in the Dirty Natch. Yeah, that's right, Natchitoches next week. We'll have more information on that early next week. I got to throw it to our final break of the program. When we return, as if referring to Natchitoches as the Dirty Natch wasn't throwing enough shade. When we return, I got a little more. Greg Sankey, you can come on down, brother. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're hanging out live at Rufino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in one final time. Got our Friday music playing. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game having a lot of fun. Ed Rubino's on the river. It will continue after our show ends within the next 10 minutes. But don't forget, within the next 10 minutes, we send you to Baton Rouge. Chris Blair, Doug Thompson, the pregame show for LSU Stony Brook at 5:30. Straight up 6 o'clock first pitch. And from what Ronnie Rance just said, his declaration, a little bit of drizzle. It has stopped. Knock on wood. Hopefully we're all good in the hood when it comes to first pitch, and there is no delay for 6 p.m. All right, I want to save some time for this, so let's get right to it. Your daily reminder coming at you. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top-down, starting with Mark, to help create a vision and then fulfill it for you. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all. For the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
There are certain things that should just DQ you from occupying certain professional positions. You should be disqualified, in my opinion, to be the commissioner of the SEC if you have never had alcohol in a sporting event. And yet, with the news today that the SEC alcohol ban in general seating has been removed, a random aside from Ross Dellinger, Mr. Booze reporter of SI.com, his random aside that he unearthed earlier today, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says he has never drank alcohol at a game. Not even in his 20s, he says, when pressed. What in the actual hell? What are you doing with yourself? It got me to thinking, CD. The shade at Sankey is obvious. It just doesn't mean more to him if he's never had a little bit of hooch inside of a stadium before. I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. But here's what it got me to thinking. How many stadiums in the SEC alone have I brought alcohol into? Now understand this. You'll get the full divide here. I started as a full-time beat writer covering LSU and then the SEC in 2009. And so by my count, I have been to 6.5 SEC stadiums that I have snuck alcohol into. I'll explain the half momentarily. I have been to 6 more in a working capacity only. It'd be impressive to sneak alcohol in those situations. But even with Les Miles ran offenses, I watched those games on the Natch. Just part of the game and the gig. And there are 2 SEC schools to which I've never been. So right there, I just gave you 6 and 2 and then 6.5. So let me tell you about my 14.5 SEC schools. I have snuck alcohol into football stadiums at LSU, never in a working capacity. None of these in a working capacity. At Georgia, where I was an undergrad, that's just obvious. Auburn, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and South Kakalaka. Several of them on several occasions. So those are the 6 where it just meant more to me to have a little more in store. The half is Jacksonville. And if you've ever been a Georgia fan at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, you need cocktails inside that game. Yes, it's a professional stadium. The Jaguars play there. No, they don't sell alcohol during that game. Maybe that'll change with this news today. But there's my 6.5 where I have brought in the hooch. Where have I only been in a working capacity? Bama, Vandy, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Florida, Arkansas. The 2 that I haven't been to, Missouri and Kentucky. I don't think I'm missing a ton when it comes to football there. But to Greg Sankey, I will say this, sir. I am probably a little bit more than half your age. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say that if I'm 34, I'm going to say that you're not 68. So I'm going to say that I'm a little bit further than halfway past your age. For me to have lapped you so many times over, sir, you can't be this much of a nerd and run the SEC. Yes, we need smart people, but we need people who've experienced at least a little bit of life. Maybe you'll get to work on that before your days are done.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade?
Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Hey, this sparked a little conversation. What a way to end the program. I have gotten literally the same text twice since I started today's Throwing Shade. Different variations of the same question. How many times have you been caught? The answer to that, and it's the God's honest truth, is goose egg. Zero times have I been caught, ever. Now, the last time I did it was pre-2009. Like I said, I go to games these days, I'm in a working capacity. If I drink alcohol at a game, it's because I'm at Cajun Field, and it's legal, and they serve it to me. Because it's America, and that's how things should be. So, I'll answer two questions, two birds, one stone. Zero times have I ever been caught. And I saw an absolutely hilarious tweet on this subject, and I'm going to forget who it was from, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, so apologies, I'm running out of real estate, I can't look it up right now. But basically, the tweet, great sarcasm here. I picked a bad time to be in the flask that don't look like flask game. Absolutely hilarious. I know exactly what that guy's talking about. I watch people sneak it in sandals that had a little spigot at the end. So quite literally, I've seen people drink out of what looks like their shoe. I have seen it with the binoculars. I have seen it every which way from Sunday. I think we're all familiar with the camel pack trick. So for me, hey man, this is just old hat, brother. This ain't nothing new. But the thing that is new, now at least they're going to serve it to you. Hopefully that lightened up your Friday at least a little bit. Got to thank our guest today, a couple of straight shooters. These guys would never sneak alcohol into a game. Our thanks to Brian Lazar, TigerBait.com. Not just his LSU Stony Brook Baton Rouge Regional Insight, but if you haven't seen it, he's got a dynamite Q&A. That's at TigerBait.com. He sat down with Skip Bertman, former LSU baseball coach and AD, and some really cool stuff as it pertains to Scott Woodward coming back on in Baton Rouge. So our thanks, salute to Brian Lazar. And you just heard, other side of our last break, Ronnie Rance going in on LSU baseball. Thought he was being punked when somebody told him Landon Marceau starting the ball game tonight. Not so. That's the thing that's really happening. And he also shared his thoughts and insight on what's coming next week in Natchitoches with the 2019 induction class going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. How much can you jam into 90 minutes? I think we just showed you. Got to thank the famous Clinton D, all of you for listening, calling, and reacting on social media. My name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. LSU Stony Brook Baseball is coming up next. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch you next Monday at 4 on 103.7 The Game.